Okay. Buenas tardes, everyone. My name is Nibe Yutaka. I'm chairman of Free Software Initiative Japan, and I'm a member of Committee A. And this panel is about the discussion committees, and I'm a member of Committee A, and B, C, and D. I'm also a member of International Committee. And I think that the Committee A, we have members from, I don't know about what A stands for, but I think that it's for Apache or something. The people from non-profit organization or people from people for free software activists and such as Apache and the Samba team or Berkeley DB are the member of Committee A. And I speak for about international committees too. And the international committee is responsible for having international GPL version 3 conference. And it's not, the international committee doesn't handle the international issue for GPL version 3, but it handles international conference on GPL version 3. Well, I'd like to talk about two issues. One issue is about Japan, and another issue is about language, for language and the free software movement. And yesterday, the Professor Mogren said there is almost no feedback from Japan, and I know the situation in Japan. Actually, that I have been working for as a government employee under METI, and from 2001, so for 5 years, and I worked for free software movement for 16 years for now. For GNU project, Linux kernel, and as a Debian developers. And the situation in Japan is, how to say, difficult. Under the METI, Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, they are quite conservative, and they are not active to support free software, but they are somewhat passive. And it is Japanese culture to avoid conflict. It is not only Professor Mogren who visit METI, but also the Microsoft came very frequently to METI, and we have a culture to avoid conflict and avoid to fight, so METI cannot support one side. And I have to say, all the evil things comes from abroad. I mean, the software monopoly, software patents, and the DRM came from abroad. That is a typical Japanese mindset. We are the country of Iran, in peace, but the evil things comes from Pacific, you know. That's a typical Japanese attitude. And we'd like to avoid the fight in our country. Yeah, that's a Japanese situation. And I mean that it's a Japanese government situation, but We have many supporters, I mean the individual developers and hackers in Japan. And yesterday I talked with Novalis. We have a shared culture. You may know that there is a manga community in Japan, and we have shared culture. It's very similar to free software movement. We share the manga together. Also, and the users mingle together. And that's a Japanese situation. So we have a very good support for free software as a citizens or individual, but the government cannot support one side. Actually, the Metis support proprietary software as well as free software. That's a Japanese situation. And the next things I'd like to mention about is language issues. We have many discussion about translation of GPU so far, and I also believe that a single English version is important for about the license itself. But I don't think that translation, official translation, is needed. I think that it's only needed for the requirements about such an official local version. I listen about such opinion from government and from some domestic lawyers, but I don't think it's required. But important things is GPU is, I think, that widely led by the people. Usually, people don't lead software license. When people download, say, some, let's think about when we download proprietary software or free software, and there is pop-up about the license, and you usually users just skip to read, but push the yes button, I read the license. But speaking for GPL, especially in the GPL version 3 process, we read the license. So, but I think that I'd like to point out that it's not only for English speaker. I mean that my native language is not English but Japanese. But and I think that GPL, the license should be led by many as many people as possible, even not native English speaker or even by the people who are not good at speaking or reading English. I think that the GPL, GNU GPL consists of three parts. One is a preamble, and the second is terms and conditions, and the third is how to apply GPL. And speaking about the legal binding or something like that, terms and conditions matters. But the first part, preamble, matters about philosophy. And the third part, how to apply, is very important for developers because it explains the procedure. Another things. We have to, if some company distribute binary only distribution, the company requires written offer. But here it comes question. Which language? The written offer is in which language? I think that it should be a local language where the local people could understand. You know that in Japan, most people don't understand English. If the written offer is written in English, the people cannot understand their own right to get the source code. So I think that the language matters here again. And so I think that even though the GPL itself is good, only single English version is good, but the explanation in local language matters, or clarification in local language matters. That's the second point. And so I'd like to point out, let local people know, and let people inform free software movement, and let's read GPL version 3, and let's discuss in our local language. That's my point, because I'm from Asia, and we have many different languages and different cultures among Asia. And I think that it's also true in Europe. You have many different languages and different cultures. So I think that we share some problem. Well, that's it. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Sanna Nykänen, and I'm a legal counsel working for Nokia Corporation. I have been working with the open source issues already for quite a many years. Personally, I'm not a member of the discussion group B, but Dietmar Thalroth is, and unfortunately he wasn't able to join this conference, and therefore I'm here instead of him. So I cannot kind of like give that personal views of that, about the discussion group B, but only based on the discussions that I have had with Dietmar. So as mentioned, Nokia's representative is there as a member in discussion group B, and there has been quite a lot of discussion about different matters there. As for an in-house lawyer, it's a very interesting cooperation concept to having a possibility to discuss with the other in-house counsels and persons that are really interested in the licenses or the free software licenses in depth. What they really mean, how they can be interpreted, and what are the possible problems there. But because typically there aren't such forum or this kind of personal relationship possibilities for lawyers. There have been a lot of discussion about many different things, but I think I could raise three main topics, and those I don't think that they are of surprise to anyone are the same as we discussed also yesterday, that they're basically patents, DRM, and how to define the complete corresponding source code. And for us, the patents or the definition of the patent license is, I could say, that the most important one. But as it's still open, so quite much depends still on how the formulation will go. And I know that there has been a lot of discussion about different aspects. So what is the scope of the license? How wide it is? What will trigger the patent license? And all that kind of stuff. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Philippe Aigrin. I'm the CEO of a small company that provides free software-based solutions for applications, specialized applications, but this is not in that capacity that I am neither in Committee C or not today here. I'm more generally an analyst of the free software and information commons, and in that role I'm a policy advisor to governments and also in some cases to corporations. So Committee C is supposed to mobilize in the debate representatives of large users that are not primarily software company. They are users in other field. They can be corporate users, or they can be government users. In practice, the committee is populated with three types of people: in-house lawyers for corporations or governments, specialized lawyer firms who have clients that are involved in using free software or advice in general on this subject, and then a few general information society analysts as myself. For example, there is someone from the Berkman Center in Harvard and other analysts of the type in Brazil. There is a good representation of international members in the committees, and in particular Europeans, and even the US members, many of them are quite familiar with European legal issues. Not surprisingly, since the committee, I think I'm on probably the only person who doesn't have a legal training in the committee, so I'm also the only person that uses the website as a tool for working, except for accessing the comments. So we mostly work in the committee through regular phone conferences and subcommittees. There are subcommittees that are dealing with the three issues that have been mentioned by Sana, and also with definitions, because the lawyers are very preoccupied with having clear and easy, types of definition that create legal certainty. In some cases, it collides with the aims of the license to have too much legal certainty, so there is a tension there. So we have a committee on definition, we have one on the patent clauses, we have one on the DRM provision that I'm the chair of. I mean, these subcommittees within the committee, and that's the real structure, and these subcommittees prepare analysis and recommendation, and then they are discussed in the full committee, and they are considered, adopted only if they have been approved in the full committee. And we don't always try to reach consensus. In some cases, we accept that there are options, and we record the reasons for people preferring one or the other. So this is a very open process within the committee, but also, the committee work is not made immediately public. There was a desire of MES members that they could discuss freely, and only later the committee work would be publicized. However, the list of members is public, and there is everyone is available to receive input from any interested party. I don't think I will dig in the substance of each of the issues, because this would take too long. On the definitions, there was a lot of an educational process, because sometimes the way some people propose definition that sort of collided with the basic ideas of copyleft or the principles of the license. So there was a kind of educational and clarification process. Then there is this tension that I mentioned between having very crystal clear and classically referred to the legal tradition of each country concepts, vs having this new vocabulary that was introduced in the draft that tries to achieve universality in the world by creating new words and defining their meaning. On the patents close debate, I think it's very similar to what was just recorded. There is a general agreement that there should be some form of patent clauses. There are lots of discussion about details that do not look as details for the big corporate users, like what does something like being closely related to you mean? There are more discussions about the optional clauses for license compatibility, where the patent related optional clause, which is a very important one because it is supposed to achieve the compatibility with the Apache software license and the IBM license and even I think a Nokia license. There are concerns of people of optional clauses coming in and making it then later complex to monitor which bits of software is subject to an optional clause and which is not. So there will be a kind, now it's quite simple, you are managing GPL software and you know you don't have to think more than that. If there are bits and pieces that start to have various conditions that are different attached to them, there might, some people have expressed concerns about that. The DRM, unsurprisingly, is the hottest topic of discussion, but the discussion sort of reflects what has been happening in the general world, and also since it is going to be covered in the next panel, I don't think it's useful, but I'll recall it in detail. There is a subcommittee on internationalization, because there is an internationalization committee, but in each of the committees, inevitably people have to discuss the international aspects of the provisions. And this committee has met with a kind of, also tension, but it's a very friendly tension within the committee, about how do you interpret more or less as a contract, the license. Because if you interpret it, you can interpret it as a contract, but then the contract would have been to be a relatively lax one. Or you can interpret it as a permission, but then you have contracts that are added to the license in practical situation of delivering solutions. And I don't think we have finished sorting out exactly what is the right path to recommend. So that's about it. We have been working through all the comments that have been submitted through the public comment system. We shared the work of allocating them to subcommittee, and then each subcommittee works on each and every comment, tags them with issues, and then we take it the other way around. We work on each issue, and we see all the comments associated, plus our own comments. We have a very, or at least those people who have used the comment access system have a very positive opinion of it. I mean, it has been an exciting experience to use it. Thanks for your attention.
Buenas tardes, mucho gusto. Me llamo Masaya Kihata, soy japonés, no hablo español. So let me do a presentation in English. Okay, I was not sure what I have to speak. I have to speak about. So I prepared this presentation material and covered two things. One is committee D, and two is internationalization. I remember Committee D. So what's Committee D? It's IDK, which means I don't know. It's supposed to be the committee for hackers, and in fact it includes several Debian developers, including me. I'm an active Debian developer, but actually the committee has Debian developers. And the committee certainly includes hackers. So I don't know what Committee D. But one particular aspect of Committee D is almost all activities open to public. We are doing IRC meeting via IRC internet relay chat regularly, but IRC meeting minutes are released on the web server and the mailing list archived too. And I think we have no unified objective. We have our own agendas. And my own is internationalization of GDA Version 3. And also I'd like to be an interface between geeks and non-geeks, especially in Japan. I think that's my mission. Okay, and now I'd like to show you a screenshot. So we have, now you can see we have a web page, GPL version 3, v3.facebook.org, discussion committees, and now you can clearly see meeting minutes are here, and the members are these people, including several Debian developers, and David Turner, now he's here with us, and other people, other hackers. Okay. So now let's talk about internationalization of licenses. I think three things to be discussed. First, we should make it universal. The second, we should identify local discrepancies. And the third, we have to talk about translation of licenses. So what's making it universal, making GPL version 3 universal? I think it's about removing wordings which depend on the US copyright law. As Professor Mogren said yesterday, some wordings may have particular meanings in your country's law interpretation. So we had to change several wordings like distribution from distribution into propagation, or maybe in next draft we have convey. And also now, it's not exactly the problem about the wording, but actually it's already told, but contract, not a contract argument has been discussed extensively. And I think FXF and its lawyers are doing very good job, but maybe not enough, because I think you know your country better than us, or better than FSF's lawyers. So please consult and get comments from lawyers in your country as soon as possible, because the evaluation process has been already started. So second, let's talk about identifying local discrepancies. It means finding conflicts with local laws or common business practices in your country. So one example is I recently discovered is Africa copyright law problem. The current first draft includes a wording, applicable copyright law. I think it's clause 0, default definition. And if we export free software embedded, for example, a GNU Linux kernel embedded hardware, for example, I can imagine bad example is keyboard, but keyboard is not free software. Anyway, kind of hardware which is embedded. The applicable copyright law. For applicable law to be the exported country's law, of course. So if I I made some hardware and exported to China. The applicable law means the Chinese law. Usually we don't care about the export or import because we can download software wherever we want, from the US, from Russia, from Europe. But the hardware is material, so since the it's a different story. And also there are many countries which its law system left much to be desired, especially copyright law. In some countries, copyright law is not really in very good shape. So we think at least GPL version 3 should allow negotiation between exporters and importers. Maybe we can do that by extending clause 7. But this is a I'm not saying to point this program out. What I wanted to tell you is communicate with non-geeks is very important. In many cases, they simply misunderstand something, but these people sometimes know program we don't realize something, right? In this example, I didn't know that, but corporate business people pointed it out to me. Especially corporate lawyers sometimes find programs we don't realize. They are very picky about the format of license documents, legal jargons, etc. And also we have to know it's always good for us to fix problem for them and for non-geeks, unless it doesn't undermine our freedom. So, but the problem is that they have no incentive to tell it to us. So we have to go and we have to get them, we have to ask them. Third topic, translation of GPL. I'd like to talk about two topics. First, better understanding about free software in your country, and second, the legal effectiveness of translations. For better understanding, simply translating GPL version 3 into your own language is not enough, I think, because I didn't know what other people said, so I think the material in my presentation has been already covered by other people's presentation. Anyway, legality is not only a part of GPL version 3, and our ultimate objective is to raise awareness about the software freedom. So I think it's better to use translation to bolster awareness in your country, since most people, we have to realize that most people don't read it if it's written in English, even if they can understand the English. Simply they don't want it. So what we can do is write articles on it, or give lectures using GPL version 3 translation in local gatherings, or run code quests, etc. Also, it's a good idea to form a translation team or accept comments. I mean, to put your mail address on translation. By doing that, we can avoid this translation as much as possible. And actually, if we publish an official translation, we have to follow the rules by FSF. You can see this rule at this URL. So basically you have to say it's an official, and you have to change if someone finds a mistranslation or something, and people say so. Okay. others talk about legal effectiveness of translations. So, of course, there should be no official translations because it's very dangerous if there are mistranslations. However, sometimes people demand a sort of certification by authorities, I mean, the translation, certified translation, because especially engineers in big firms who have sympathy with the software, actually they are using it, and but they have to or want to persuade their bosses or legal department. It's very, it can be very tough for them, and I think we have to help them. So now I'm thinking about some ideas for improving the status of translation. Maybe we can limit the valid area, like valid only in Japan, for example, or limiting by time, valid only for 1 year, or and revision required, something like that, like driver license. And I'm now thinking about quasi-official translation, which is several local lawyers revised it. And FSF knew and expressed that it has been revised by local law professionals, but denies any responsibility. I'm not sure how the court responds when a lawsuit is brought into the court. Maybe they think it's official because FSF knew it, even if they deny any responsibility. So now finally, it's conclusion. Two advices from my experiences. I'm working for free software in my free time since 1997, in Japan, mostly in Japan. And what I learned is, listen to your people. Very important is, this is now their business. They can live with the free software. We have to admit it. But, so this is basically our own business. So we have to go, and we have to meet, we have to get them. Not waiting for them to ask us. We have to teach them. Next, try to find to get support from people. I found there are many people who are interested in free software but don't know how to help us. Even if all information is on the web, that's very important because usually we incline to think everything is on the web or everything is in the book. So they should read. I don't think so. They don't want to read. We have to make them read. And also I'd like to say the government is not your enemy. Sometimes we don't like government. Sometimes we don't like corporation. Richard seems to drive it. But the government is very powerful sometimes. So I think it's very important to communicate and build connection with the government. The third and the final, be wise and get second opinions. Yes, we are usually wrong because we are not professional, we are not lawyers. But lawyers or other professionals can be wrong. I asked many Japanese lawyers about a bunch of things, and sometimes I got different opinions. I'm not sure who was right. So it's important to get second opinions. So also, do not hesitate to express your concern if you don't understand. Thank you for listening. We accept questions. Thank you very much.
Hi. Sorry. So you take the comments from the GPLv3.fsf.org, and can you describe what you turn them into? Like, you turn them into issues which have the positive and negative descriptions or properties of each issue. But can you describe more concretely what these issues look like? You know, is it a page which summarizes the topic and shows the pros and cons, or what exactly is it that the commission that the discussion committees produce? Thanks.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because this is what is the output of our work, let's say. There is a kind of recommended table format where basically we first have to find issues, because comments often they address several different issues, and then maybe there are 20 comments that address the same issues. So we identify an issue and we try. The first cell is a kind of one brief sentence statement of what is the issue. And then we try to produce a summary, very short summary, one, two, or three possible positions that could be taken on the issue. Then we try to list arguments for each of the options. And then either we recommend one position, possibly going to all the way to drafting some alternate text if that is needed, or we are not able to reach consensus, not necessarily because we disagree, but also because we are not sure what is the right option, simply. And then we volunteer two options and we leave it for further wisdom and decisions by last recourse to decide. I think it will be, I guess other committees have relatively similar outcome of their work, and I believe in the long run it will be important, in my opinion, that they are all made public so we can really see on which basis the decisions were taken, because that's part of the governance of a process.
According to my understanding, it's quite similar procedure in the discussion group B, so that the issues are written and then different kind of opinions and discussions held in the sort of regular delcos, which are what held by the parties. And if no consensus is met, then about there can be different sort of written suggestions, and then those are discussed and a consensus is tried to get. But if that's not possible, then the issue is left open and for further discussion then. But I would say that one very important aspect there also is the discussion, because there might rise different opinions, different views that not everybody could not have thought of. And then that can lead to a totally new kind of a suggestion or solution to the issue.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't even turn it on. If a translation of the license is restricted to a certain territory, and I'm a troublemaker and I want to try to play that to my advantage, that to me is an invitation to look for an offshore solution. It's to look for a solution where I could say, well, you know, let's take the traditional offshore banking locations, and perhaps these are perfect places to say, well, it's not very clear which version of the GPL applies. Is it the international English version, or is it the local version, etc.? So I would just make the comment that I would be concerned about that.
Actually. Thank you. actually, FSF says only the English version is valid. And if any, I mean, even if the translation is correct, there is no legal power for translation. So I think I'm not sure what your concern is exactly, but if the, whatever it says in the translation, it's not valid.
So I guess what you're saying is that any translation would carry some language that would say this translation is provided for informational purposes only, and it's only the original English language version that is applicable in a legal sense. Is that what you mean? I think it's a little bit a question like, you know, earlier we were discussing about, well, there could be an annotated translation, or there could be what we call an unofficial translation. But ultimately, what makes the license official or not is if it shows up in a court in a particular case and somebody needs to defend it and argue for it. So it just seems to me, I mean, I'm perhaps a little closer to Richard Stallman on this point of view, that it seems to me to create a very great number of these types of problems, the translations issue, while at the same time it's very serious. But for instance, common sense could tell you, well, simple solution, let's just say that these translations are not official, have no legal status, they are there basically for informational purposes. Ultimately, they are a shortcut, because English is not my native language, and so it's easier for me to understand the
Actually, I agree with you completely, but the problem is the people want revised, I mean, the checked by lawyers version of translation. And, you know, they just want some kind of assurance. So, I think now we completely discarded translation as an official, but we might be able to give kind of certification for translation, I thought. So it has no legal status. It's not. It's completely unofficial. Still completely unofficial. But still, FSF or someone can say it's certified or checked, double checked, or something.
Maybe I can add. But this issue, I mean, what you are recommending is the statu quo compared to GPL version 2 and the unofficial translations. Where there is discussion, I agree with your suggestion, but where there is discussion is that some lawyers who have, let's say, a strong interpretation of a license as a contract, and in particular go all the way to consider it as a contract in the sense of consumer law, then many countries have requirements that a contract in consumer law is valid only if you were given this contract in your own language, an official language of your country. And to me, this is a reason one among many to say that to consider a license in disjunction from any contract that complements it, for example, if there is a transaction between a consumer. But I must say I have been advocating this position in Europe for now quite a few years as a philosopher of law, and I'm less and less successful with lawyers. I have to recognize that there is a wide majority of lawyers who would like to be on their usual ground of what they know well, their law as it applies in as contract law, and gives rise to this, all this nice litigation that is their business.
Okay.
I apologize, but I have to leave the panel because I had a small inconvenience at lunch. I was stolen my bag with all my IDs and credit cards and everything. So I have to go to the police and make a declaration.
They said that version is working, yes? Hello? They said version 2 of the draft is going to come out soon. Do you know how successful the committees have been in making suggestions to the FSF and incorporating their comments, your comments?
At least I don't have any knowledge about how most of the comments have been incorporated into the next discussion draft that is just coming out. Sorry.
Okay, then. So, okay, I'd like to thank our panelists then and close the panel. So, the next panel is DRM and enforcing the GPL. So, thank you very much to the panelists.
Thank you.